to talk about the harmful algal bloom-related illness surveillance system, or HABIS. We originally thought we were going to be doing this with screenshots, but thanks to Kelly Asadi and his wonderful team, we're going to be able to do this a live demo today. So we'll see how that goes. We've got plenty of time. Can I control this? This one just click. Okay. All right. The purpose of our system is to reduce the public health effects of HAB-related human illnesses. Again, we're talking about harmful algal blooms. And just as a brief introduction to that topic, what happens with harmful algal blooms is algae periodically bloom prolifically, depending on the environmental circumstances, water temperature, how many nutrients are available. And these blooms can become harmful if they impact the ecology or if they impact the health of animals or people. So the goal for our surveillance system is to identify early cases of HAB-related illnesses, to limit exposures. We're, of course, interested in preventing further cases. We are very much interested in trying to link the cases of illness with environmental data, with the idea that we can use this to predict blooms in the future and then prevent illness. Just a little bit of background about how CDC got involved in this. In 1997, there was a newly identified algae called Fisteria piscicida that was associated in time and space with fish kills and some reported human illnesses. And in 1998, Congress funded NCH to provide resources to the state health departments to do research and surveillance on Fisteria-related illnesses. In 2003, Congress renewed the funding for another 5 years. So in dealing with this whole episode, we have dealt with a very interesting mix of politics and science and state-based health needs, as well as public panic about seafood. And in the process, we've learned a lot from our states about what their priorities were. So we've gone from Fisteria piscicida to a harmful algal bloom-related surveillance system, which includes not just one organism in a specific place, but all the different HAB organisms and all the geographic areas in which they occur. The system, as you'll see when Rebecca does her presentation, is it's web-based and it's modular, so it's fairly easy to add to. We were really interested in having the states be able to add their own modules if they needed to, if there's something else they wanted to collect. The data is managed with Access, and it's accessible right now to partner states and CDC. Right now, we have probably 11 states who are or will be entering data into HABIS. The unique thing about this system is that we're collecting not only human health data, but also animal health data and data about the environmental characteristics that occur with the HABs. Our current features include a basic statistical analysis package and a report generating capability. You'll hear more in detail about the different modules in HABIS, but I just wanted to show you that we've got different modules for identifying information for the case, the case demographics, the kind of environmental information that we'd want to collect, exposure data, signs and symptoms, and then medical assessment and follow-up for the cases. We have parallel modules for the animal events, and we're working with the various animal disease surveillance systems to make sure that the two systems can talk to each other. Right now, we're actually beyond beta testing. As I said, the states are entering data. And some of the future features that we'd like to include, we're working with colleagues at NOAA and with the various state health departments to develop some mapping and modeling capabilities. We eventually would like to be able to use this to predict HABs. One of the things that we'd like to be able to say, for example, is this summer has been, there have been prolific blooms this summer in small lakes all over the country. And what we'd like to be able to provide is for a state health department to be able to say, well, we're in drought situation. It looks like we're not going to be getting a lot of rain this summer. In the past, when this has happened, we've had blooms in all of these small recreational lakes, so we're going to go ahead and post them early so that we don't have the dog deaths and the human illnesses that we've experienced otherwise. So that's our goal there, is that prediction. And then another thing is real-time notification. There are several groups who are interested in HAB-related illnesses, including the FDA. So what we'd like to try to do is when we get an illness recorded in HABIS, there's an automatic email sent to our colleagues in FDA so they know about it as well. The final thing is international participation. We are very interested in having data from, particularly from Australia and also Germany and probably England, I think. But there are a lot of HAB issues associated with public health in those countries, and they're very interested in providing data if we can get a mechanism going. Okay, so there's the first screenshot, and I'd like to introduce Rebecca Leprell, and she's going to take it from here.
Thanks, Lori. Just a second. No pocket, so. Okay, I'd like to go ahead and give you a live demo of the harmful algal bloom illness surveillance system. Hopefully we can switch it over. Okay. Now the font's a little small on the live demo, but we'll have it available after the presentation as well if you want to come up and get an inside look at it. So this is the first page of the harmful algal bloom illness surveillance system, and as if you're looking at it from a state user perspective. So let's say that a state epidemiologist in Virginia, per se, for example, catches wind of a illness event, and they want to capture it into the surveillance system real time. So they would choose their group, let's say Virginia, and you can see in here all the other states and groups we have in the system and that we're working with. We have more that we plan to add in the future, most of which are concentrated along the East Coast. We have a couple in the Northwest and two on the Pacific Northwest on the Pacific Coast. That would be Washington State and Oregon. Okay, so we've just caught wind of a human illness report and we want to capture that information. So let's go ahead and click to the next module. Here we can identify the point of contact. Let's say it's a citizen call made to the health department, and CDC would like to know who's entering in the data, so I've just put my name. And based on what we previously entered, the surveillance system will automatically prompt you into a skip pattern based on your previous answers. So let's say the caller is talking to me, the state epidemiologist. I get her name and her contact information. And since she was the victim, we'll identify her as herself. Next. Again, we'll identify the name of the victim. Oops. And this information is encrypted. The only person that has access to personal identifiers is the administrator and a developer at CDC and the contact person at the state. Here we would enter our home address, the contact information, and the individual's occupation. Let's say in this case, a lifeguard. And you can see we have various survey types, so multiple choice questions and open-ended text boxes. Let's say date of birth, and on this page you'll see standard epidemiological questions. This is standard vocabulary used across the board at CDC. Date of birth, sex, age, and race and ethnicity. And these are not required to move forward in the surveillance system. Okay, let's say date of exposure. We'll click the first date that this victim was exposed to the harmful algal bloom. The time of day. Let's say, for instance, that she was out in the water for 2 hours. You see the drop down for the units. But she was out there all day, whether that was out on a boat or along the bay shore. So we'll say 8 hours. And potential routes of exposure. Let's say in this case, inhalation and dermal contact to brackish water. And based on our answers here, on our potential route of exposures, it'll take you to a next skip pattern and prompt you to enter in more information on that particular route. We can also collect information on what the patient or what the victim saw while she was out in the water. So let's say she saw a dead fish. She did not note any unusual smells or odors. The water color may perhaps have been greenish and cloudy. Now we've made an additional survey so that if this victim was out on the water with other individuals that may or may not have any symptoms, we can collect their contact information here, and they'll be linked, save and close, to this individual. I didn't enter in a name right here, otherwise it would populate in this box. And again, continue sequentially through the surveillance system. Choose the date of the first presentation of symptoms and open-ended text box. You can say what symptoms did the patient first experience. Let's say eye irritation. The patient's chief complaint, itching, rash. And drop downs that indicate the units of measurement for onset and duration. So let's say the onset of symptoms were 1 to 6 hours and the duration was 6 to 24 hours, and the symptoms did not recur with new exposure. Again. That it's a rash, red, swollen on multiple areas. Okay. And notice at the bottom for this pop-up list, if you've entered in data and you want to go back and save and edit it, you can just use this navigational tool to jump around through the various modules. Again, since we are collecting this information in real time, we can interview the victim while she's even on the phone. These are standard EPI questions. However, we've tailored them to meet the needs of this particular survey. So we've only answered in questions here that we might deem relevant for our harmful algal bloom research. Again, I'm going through this faster than a state user would, skipping around through various questions too, so you can see all of them. Now, if any, let's see. Now, if let's say the victim did go see a physician to treat some of her symptoms, we could either speak to that healthcare provider or get the information from the victim herself, and if any lab tests were conducted, it will take you to another skip pattern, and you can enter in the test results here. Okay, so that's the end of the, that's the last page of the human illness report. We'll say it's follow-up required because you can see I've left a lot of open-ended questions and answers. Let's say date of action. And an important part of surveillance is identifying whether or not it was a case. So here you can see we have it was not an HAB-related illness, possible, probable, and confirmed, and with definitions of those. And we are working with poison control centers to identify and put these in here, specific case definitions for each harmful algal bloom illness. Okay, so we can save and close this report that we just made. You can see these are the surveys I've created in RDC. And we can link this to an algal bloom report. Now we can make an algal bloom event report whether or not we have a human illness report or in the system. And we can also link multiple human illness reports to one algal bloom report. You can see at the very bottom here, this would be where all your human illness reports are listed and your animal illness reports are listed, and you create new ones here or link them all together. Okay, the name of the water body. We're in Virginia. And if you're in the actual state using it, it'll default to the state that you have privileges to enter in data for. The states are not able to view other state data. It's completely confidential. Okay. This is the water quality collection form. And a sample was collected for the purpose of identifying organisms. Let's say the reason for sample collection was an event response. In this case, that individual we just talked about got sick. Again, water appearance, and there was scum on top of the water. Now here, if you click the start button, it'll automatically take you to Google Maps. We're not connected to internet on this computer, but you can actually point and click where you are on the Google map and where the sample was collected, and then this, the lat long, will automatically populate for you. Okay, the rest are water quality parameters. You click next. We identify the organism. Let's say Microcystis species. And in this case, it was taken for the purpose of responding to a harmful algal bloom illness. So let's say there was tests for toxicity performed. They were multiple. Oops, don't want that one. And based on what we checked off in our previous response, we'll get to the microcystin total or whatever test you chose on the previous page, again with the units. And this is the end of it. So we can go ahead and close this. And since we have a little bit of extra time for this session, I'll go ahead and point out a couple of things in RDC. Now we created this survey on top of the Rapid Data Collector, and you can see and hear all the surveys that I have access to. And as an administrator, I'm able to export all this data, and at the state level, they're able to do this same thing as well. So they can export their data in Excel, Access, Grid, export to summary statistics, or look at their sample collection data on top of a Google map. Okay. And that concludes my demo. Thank you for watching and participating, and if you have any questions.
There is
We actually have talked about that with the other states, and probably the way that we would deal with that is the states could give each other permission to access data. That's certainly a possibility.
I know what you do now. Can you tell us a little bit more what you see that you do now? Can you see the world as well?
Well, part of the issue with harmful algal blooms is that we don't have any case definitions for the illnesses. We know that people are complaining, but we don't have a good way to develop a case definition. So this is going to be iterative. We're going to use this data to help us develop case definitions. And then as we get better case definitions, we'll be able to identify more human health cases with the idea of preventing them. One of the big things we'd like to do is the prevention part, because right now, the typical way we hear about a harmful algal bloom is a dog died. And we want to try to get ahead of that curve and prevent the illnesses. Well, the states will have the option of building their own, but one thing that we are working on with NOAA, for example, is they are very interested in having us help them with illness surveillance for people who, especially their volunteers who work at their marine mammals. So since it's very similar to this kind of data, we're going to be helping them with a module to develop that resource as well. So it's really flexible.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.